Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sunday night, next Sunday night, the 12th, we will start back on our prayer services. And I say our prayer services because we've done a lot of things in the past year that were really wonderful, had a lot of teaching, and we will have, Miss Gay will continue at times, because confession is a very vital part of our church and is a very vital part of our life. It's part of our spiritual warfare. But it really is going to be a prayer night. So Sunday night's going to be a prayer night / confession. So find your corner. Get camped out. It's all right to bring stuff. If we grease up the walls, we'll... We'll have some of you guys that painted it one time, paint it again in a year from now. It's okay, but find a place of prayer. Camp out. Get rooted. Somebody said, well, I can pray at home. Well, he's asked us to pray together too. Hallelujah. It's just like the blueprint for 2020. I really appreciate, because I've had different elders come up already and say, man, I'm listening to this. I'm just asking you to do it. If for no other reason, as a pastor, I don't really know, I'm asking you to do it as your pastor. Would you do it, please? Would you at least 30 times listen to that? Because I can tell you it has in it, God, I'm not going to go rehearse. I taught one time on it. When was it? New Year's Eve. Okay, sent out a letter on it, and maybe more needs to be, and I'll talk more about it in just a little bit, but there is a series of 8 different prophecies that the Lord has given us going into 2020, and I believe that it's very, very strategic. Man, I heard some things in there. I was listening to it, was it yesterday? I'm doing it, I'm like on the treadmill listening to it, so you can, if you don't run too fast or walk too fast, you can still listen. You can do a whole lot of different things and get it accomplished. But I was like right in the middle of it, and people that are in spiritual warfare need to hear it. My God, it had some instruction concerning spiritual warfare and forgiving one another. And just, it had some instruction about forgiving yourself, letting different things go. And I'm telling you, the Lord has got us on His mind. He believes that we're going to receive this thing. But not only does he believe it, but Satan also believes it too. So I want to begin. I don't know really where we're going to go this morning. I kind of have notes in front of me, but I'm just listening as I go, because I really want to, I want this to be prophetic. I think we're going to have a lot of prophetic services in the next year. Father, I'm asking you, and I'm not doing this as someone that is standing apart, but I know that there are elders in this house, men and women. There are those that are becoming in leadership by their own self-qualification to take this message and allow it to be perfected in their life. And so, Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, the Lord, that you will stir the hearts. And I believe that you're already stirring the hearts. But I pray that the things that we will hear in these hours and the days ahead, Lord, it won't be a church service, but it'll be instructions of grace in guiding us in going forward, Lord, as a body that will receive this outpouring, as a body, Lord, that will receive visions and dreams. Lord, I just know, because you have spoke to me concerning different things, that this is going to be a year of visions, dreams, supernatural manifestations like we've never seen before. Sometimes we're going to think it's strange. It'll all be measured under doctrine, and everything will be measured by the word. But Father, I thank you that there will be and there is in this house a supernatural breathing by your presence in the name of Jesus. Lord, one of the prophecies I remember, present tense as I pray, is for us to remember our significance. Lord, I just pray that our significance will come to a place where we begin to believe more and expect more from ourselves than ever before. And that, Lord, even though that we will not be a people of self-induced pride, but yet, Lord, that we will not be those who are given over to a false humility that says, I'm not worthy to think of myself that way. But Lord, I pray that we will think of ourselves as an elite special forces group that have been called and asked to separate our life, that can do only what no other group can do that is not following this format. And that is to follow your word, to go into your word and to go into your presence and to go into fastings and prayers and the rehearsal of your word among us, all speaking the same thing one with another. And Father, I thank you that through it, that Lord, that you're going to receive from us the authority necessary to pour this outpouring on the church. And then as it tsunamis into this region, as it touches the hearts, we don't care, Lord, if churches, Lord, have a great dividends and an overflow of these things where people are coming into churches as a result of the light that will come to this city. That is our joy. But Lord, we know that this place is an epicenter. It would be false humility on my part to say, Lord, well, there's many others just like us in this region. There's many others in this city like us in this city. Lord, we do not stand in a place of condemnation, condescending, but Lord, we just simply in your humility say, Lord, we know that there is few just like us, and we cannot go the way of the church. We cannot go the way of programs and things that will, there is given to us a straight out of heaven commission to go into prayer, to go into fasting, to lose our life for the purpose of what the world and the church has not seen. And that is a great spiritual outpouring with signs and wonders. Now we receive our commission. We ask you, Lord, daily to help us. Help us even now, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I hope you're carrying around your articles of war. Well, one is this. The other one, I wish I'd have brought my 2020 at-a-glance calendar. I know you can put them on your smart devices. That's fine. But what present tense are your blackout days? You know, where are you already presently planning to, okay, I'm going to fast those 5 days. Skip that. Okay, I'm going to fast though. And listen, and I'm not saying it, now this could sound condescending, I'm not saying it as in judgment, like, oh, I'm going to do this. But I can tell you this, anything that you can do. Kenneth Hagin used to say that if you could just eat less, it's an execution against. Because what we've studied for, you know, all the 66 books, what we do know is this, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, I can just prove it by the Word of God, is that fasting, you can't fast TV, you can't fast the mall, you can't fast your greatest hobby or this, that, and the other. That's called abstinence, and sometimes they'll ask you to do an abstinence. You know, hold off on that. You know, social media may be an abstinence that he asks you to do while you're fasting, but fasting is always, both Old and New Testament, Word of God is going without food. It's just going without food. So even if you can, you know, sometimes people are on medication and they seriously can't take off of, you know, a full day. Can you go a meal or two? Can you go without certain, Daniel, I think, called it dainties, or Proverbs calls it dainties, but Daniel called it, he was on a Daniel's fast, but it was like fruits and vegetables and stuff. What about abstaining from certain foods that you eat all the time? You know, honestly, for me not to have meat if I'm going to eat food, because salads is not a meal. That's salads is not a meal, and unless you have meat there, you know, you haven't had a meal. So you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm getting some preach. So can you go without that? You know, just something, because it all has to do with food. I'm going to read this. I believe that you will testify in your heart. Because Gary sent me this early this morning, or was it late last night, I guess. But he had called me yesterday, and some of you are aware of this because you follow Facebook and get different news from the other churches. So he sent me this, and he entitled it, and I asked him later through a text, can I read it? He said, sure. The gauntlet has been thrown down, is what he entitled this. At the prayer center and at churches around the world who have the same vision for supernatural revival, we have been encouraging the people for months to press into prayer and fasting more than ever before in their lives. We have called it passing through the wall of fire, completing the purging process, and so forth. The purpose is to purge any remaining strongholds of the flesh from us so that the Holy Spirit is freely able to minister the life of Christ through us. It seems that we have been taken seriously by the forces of darkness in this region, and I would say in our region as well. Pastor Dave always warned us that whenever any group or people got serious about praying and fasting, the rulers of darkness over their region would take notice and they would be targeted for destruction. No penetration of light are to be permitted. On January 3rd, 2020, one of our church members drove himself to the hospital at 3:30 a.m. because he was experiencing symptoms which made him think he was about to have a heart attack. Sure enough, by 4:30 a.m., he was having a full-blown heart attack. Family began notifying the church, and very soon many people were praying for him. He was pronounced dead at noon the following day. A mighty warfare had been going on. Several intercessors prayed without ceasing straight through. He went code blue and recovered 13 times. But the stress on his heart became too much, and he eventually went on to be with the Lord. This happened before we have had even the very first service of the new year at the church. This is no coincidence. Our challenge for revival has been heard in the spirit realm, and it is as if the enemy has thrown down the gauntlet, saying, do you think you will have revival? I will show you how much power I have. I will kill one of your members, and there isn't anything that you can do to stop me. Just like a wolf pack singles out a single sheep from the flock and then attacks, this member was attacked so suddenly and so severely that from the moment of the first symptom until death was only about 32 hours. The member selected for the destruction was not random either. This member was the greeter at the front door of the church. He would greet every single person who entered the church and shake their hand or give them a hug. Everybody knows him, and everybody will miss him, seeing him in the future. It will be like a visual reminder at every service of what the enemy was able to do. This is war. We have lost a battle. We will win the war. We will have revival in the name of Jesus, and darkness will not prevail. Now, I know this person. And I can testify, because I've known him for years, didn't have sin in his life. That wasn't what took him out. And he's a very wonderful person. Very wonderful person. And all of the leadership, worship team, when I asked, did they know him? And yeah, we know him for sure. And wonderful man, 53 years old, and excellent looking health, very slim looking, kind of had his body together and everything. So I read that to say this, that it's not to put fear in people, But it is for those that are on this, because see, we don't gather here. I really appreciate anybody that comes and anybody that watches. But our number one objective is to train warriors that will proceed into revival, and we will teach them systematically, as we are teaching them, how to do that without fear. Based on what we just read from Gary, that, let me just reiterate a couple things. The gauntlet has been thrown down, and you heard him say in that before the first service of the new year, and this is our first service, that's theirs new first service, the enemy come, because the heart cry of what they're saying is the same thing as what we're saying on any given Sunday. Immokalee's in revival, Tulsa's in revival. And Satan was like, well, if there wasn't kids here, I'd probably use more explicit terms, because that's how angry I am. Even if you thought I was sinning, it would just be a depiction of how angry I am in the spirit because of what has happened. But I can tell you this, like Gary cited here, that the enemy is taking us serious. He's taking us very serious. So just like Dave used to say, he even quoted there, they would always warn us that whenever a group or people got serious about praying and fasting, the rulers of darkness over their area would take notice, and they would target, and they would be targeted for destruction. They could not allow, in essence, no penetrations of light are to be permitted. What is our inoculation against fear, Pastor? Going into God. What is our See, here's the bottom line, and this is not a. See, I didn't know where I was going, but I do know present tense. The bottom line is this. However many people were praying, and they were sincere. I even got a chance to pray, although for whatever reason, God knows, I did not even equate it to this person. I'm not naming him this morning, it's okay, but his family, you know, I don't think any of them are watching, but Gary said he's going to read the same thing in time to come, but they're hurting there. But all the people that were praying there and the intercessors that was there and even myself, and I did not, when I got the call, I did not, Candy was in the next room and she was trying to put the babies to bed. We had some staying. So she actually texted me and said that she'd gotten this request. Well, I was in the front room and I got the text and I was doing something real spiritual with Joe. We were watching Avengers Endgame for the 99th time, so we know that we're an Avenger. So I said, what is this? So I paused it, and I explained to him, Joe, Papa's got to pray for this man. I don't know. So I prayed, and I believed God. We finished the movie. So he dies the next day. So here's the bottom line. They asked Smith Wigglesworth, that man that had he'd had so many miracles, and he'd raised, I think, 11 or 12 documented people raised from the dead. They ask him, now, how does it work? How did you ever get to where that you can have done these things? And he said, well, it's one thing. It's this. It's the blade, the ear, and the full corn of the ear, the full corn in the ear. In other words, it's the 30. That same chapter, Jesus taught this. It's 30, the 60, the 100-fold. In other words, it's going from a place of wherever you're at, and Dave says getting past all of hell, that whatever he can throw at you. It's growing up into 60, it's growing up into 70, it's growing up into 80, it's growing up into 90, it's growing up into 100-fold, because 100-fold is really where he wants all of us to be at. And that's very well, Jesus said the works that you do, or the works that I do, you'll do also and greater because I go to the Father. Now, here's the bottom line, and it's not meant to be condescending because I haven't included myself in on it. It's just a relevance to where we're at. When I, let's talk personal for a moment. When I teach you through God's word, Mark 11, 23 and 24, and teach again and again that Jesus said, see, because this is one of our strategic points of going into war is the article of confession. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and admit to anything, your finances are terrible, your body's broke down, whatever, your depression, you're on the edge of killing yourself all the time, but you turn one day and you say, okay, Jesus said, based on the word of God, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass. The word saith there is the word to set in discourse. In other words, it has in its Greek meaning to say it more than once, to set it in discourse and say it repetitively. Well, somebody said, well, I don't, it's not going to work unless you mean it in your heart. I know when it transitions from the soul to the hearts when it works, but you can't get there unless you do the obedience part of it. Nobody believes it when they start out. That's why you say it. Nobody believes it. I remember the day, I don't know the day, but when Amber, my daughter, was going through such problems with a childhood disease, and it promised to follow her the rest of her life, and I would walk and I would confess for hours sometimes the word of God over her body. Now, her mom was doing the same thing, but I'm talking about myself personally. I can only speak from my experience. And other people were probably praying too, but there came a day, like, you know, when you step through a door, like if I was to walk through that door, I'm not trying to be, I can only tell you a spiritual experience, but I believe it can be backed up by the Word of God. I walked through a door after several months of confessing the Word that it just felt, all of a sudden it felt absolutely, entirely different. My confession was no longer out of the soul. It was totally out of the heart. And when it came out of the heart, it was done to me. It actually, honest to God, it was like one particular day, it was like something came. I stepped in another room. Now, when you step into that other room, then you've transitioned from the soul to the heart. And I can tell you, it comes to pass. Her life was changed, and she's done wonderful for years. She was healed of that particular disease. You can do that and stand. That's called confession and speaking to the mountain. That's more than a positive confession. That's more than a positive answer. When somebody says, how you doing? And you say, oh, I'm doing great. That's wonderful. I'm healed. I'm a mighty man of God. I'm a mighty woman of God. That's wonderful. But that's totally different than speaking to the mountain. The woman came up to Norval Hayes, and he was great man of faith that taught the body, right along with Kenneth Hagin and some of those that were apostles of faith. And they ask him, they come up crying, whining, but I'm going to say it nice, because especially when people are hurting, but it was kind of very accusing. And she said, because he had taught on faith. And she said, well, Brother Norval, why? You just taught all this on faith. Why did God let my husband die of cancer? Why did he let him die of cancer? Because my husband was believing God, and he believed God. He believed God. He said, okay, first of all, woman, I got to tell you something. Nobody, not from the beginning of time, nobody from the beginning of time to this present ever believed God and died in the condition they were in. Nobody. In other words, they never made the full transformation into faith, and they were standing in faith, and God let them die. He said it just was, I can tell you, woman, miss, it's just totally impossible. Well, he did. He was believing God with all his heart, and he just died. He said, ma'am, it's just absolutely impossible. Nobody's ever done it. It's never happened. It just hasn't never happened. She said, he said, let me just ask you, maybe help you a little bit. Can you remember Can you remember during those that year or something when he went from different stages of cancer? Can you remember just because, see, when you catch people inadvertently, not when they're not at church, church is pretense. Church, all of us have our Sunday morning, I'm spiritual face on. But can you ever remember him just sitting around in his skivvies, you know, his Fruit of the Looms at the breakfast table? And you just walking by him, and he didn't know you were watching or listening. Can you ever remember just catching him in there in the next room talking to the cancer? What? He said, Jesus said you have to speak and talk to your mountain. You've got to talk to it just like it's a personality, just like it's a personified. Did you ever walk by him and him just hanging out there in the kitchen, sitting at the kitchen table, talking and saying, and like you, nobody was in there, but you just called him saying, I'm talking to you, cancer. You will not kill me. Jesus said, the word said, by his stripes, I am healed. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Did you ever catch him doing that? No, I never caught him doing that. He said, ma'am, your husband's in heaven. He loved God. He's there. The only thing is, he never was able to make the full transition. Because nobody that ever makes that full transition in faith and goes all the way to believing in something that God has said, nobody ever died at that condition of 100-fold. Now take it, that's individually. That's individually. But then you transition and let's leapfrog, let's jump ahead and say, okay, that's teaching somebody to stand against a trial of their life. They're depressed. You know, they want to find a way to escape. You know, they're so depressed, they're trying to figure out how to do away with themselves. And they just stand against that mountain, and I say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am filled with the peace that passes all understanding, and on and on and on, and you take those scriptures and you pound, and you can't do those on the fly, and you can't do those like, just one or two. You've got, Gary said when finances were staying away from him in great abundance, when he was so poor, him and Sue, that it took him it took him 4 hours. He just divorced everything else, put away for a season the word, time in the word, or praying in tongues, and just worship for 4 straight hours. Now, everybody say 4 hours. 4 hours is a long time when you're doing something like that. 4 hours is monotonous. I don't know how many months that he did it, but for 4 hours a day, for 4 hours a day, he would speak scriptures over his finances for 4 hours a day. A lot of times people will tell you, I'll do anything for this thing to change. I'm so depressed, Pastor, if you tell me what to do, I'll do anything, okay? Okay, here's your prescription. Okay, I'm writing it out. Okay. You're going to fast one day on, one day off, and one. Oh no! Wait a minute, Pastor. I can't do that, Pastor. I can't. No, you think you'll do anything to get out of what you're in, but you lie against your own heart because you're not willing to walk the floor 4 hours, and you're not willing to fast every other day. Or you're not will. When you get ready to really, when it gets sometimes so bad that you say, okay, I'll throw. Satan takes us. Evidently, some of you warriors around here have done enough to get him riled up. Now I know that happened to that church, but don't you think that if he could, he would zero in on us. He'd zero in on us, starting from the pastor right on down. If he could take any of us out, he would. So here's the thing. That's individually the example I gave about Norville. Sometimes, and we've had some good people that loved God among us that have died of cancer. and those kinds of things. And that's just an example. They were believing, and somewhere they were probably 30 or 40, but the corn stalk in them, the cancer outrun the corn stalk. Say it that way. The cancer run up ahead and got ahead of the growth of the corn stalk. That, boy, that's why it's good. Preventative corn stalk growth is a lot better than trying to grow that corn stalk off up when they say you only got 6 months to live. Because then you got to go through all the cancer treatments and all that stuff, and unless you just decide to stay, no, I'm going to go stay home and die or believe God one way or the other. But growing a corn stalk in the midst of hell is a lot harder than growing it before hell gets there. Okay, but a lot of people, their trial outran their corn stalk. Their corn stalk was maybe to start with, but their trial grew. The trial at maturity was 6'4", and their corn stalk was, 5 foot, and it the cancer outran their faith. It outran their place. Well, here's the thing: like with a guy like that died out in Tulsa. And all of us knew him. Man, I loved him. I knew him for years. Wonderful guy. Just 53 years old. Looked fantastic. Looked great. The bottom line is this, and this is not condescending on me or any of us, because we're all, at least we're the spearhead. At least we're trying to get it done. So the Lord in heaven is, he's in some of those prophecies, please listen to those prophecies. Called Blueprint for 2020. I've asked everybody that believes that they're part of this vision to listen to them at least 30 times. They're on the front page of our website. There's people in here, and I don't know where we are as a group. I don't know if we're 40, 50, 60. I hope we're above 50, 60. There's people at different stages. So it's not like that everybody that was praying for him, if there was 100 intercessors, Gary thought there was 100 people probably praying for this man. Here's the bottom line that we have to reconcile. This is the truth, because we just know it. If Jesus walked through the wall, we've had this example, he'd heal everybody in the building. And then he would turn to me and say, Bronk, I love you. You're wonderful in that sense that you're my son. But why haven't you been able to do this? But here's the deal. Of all the people that were praying for him, nobody has their corn stalk mature enough. Nobody's corn stalk was mature enough to stop it. If you knew about it, some people didn't know about it, but if you knew about it and you uttered a prayer to heaven, your corn stalk had not grown. Now, that's not condescending. It's just recognizing where we're at, because we're going forward into revival. And if we recognize that the year in front of us is a year to focus like never before. I know these are real rock hard kind of bone serious sermons, but if we laugh when we get here, that's a plus. I like to be humorous. I like to keep things happy and laughter at times, but that's a plus, because what we're coming here for is to be trained. And we've said this before, not being mean, if somebody comes through and says, well, I'd like a church like this, we'd like programs, and boy, we'd like some coffee before church, and we'd like to, I'd say, man, you're the greatest, but go on down the road. Find, there's another church for you someplace. Because right now, until we get, let me read this. He gave this to me early. I just entitled it The Red Line. We've heard some things about the military in the past year, the past several years, about one president said he was going to draw a red line, and he didn't keep that mess. He didn't keep that commitment. Our red line has been drawn. Immokalee is growing up. And there's generals in here that are growing up. One day, and right now, present tense, I'm saying there's going to be not only me, but there's going to be several of you men and women that when we get a call like that, we won't know exactly who stopped it, but somebody will be able to stop it. your corn stalk will be high enough to stop it. Now here's the red line. The red line of revival cannot be crossed. In other words, as far as Satan's mind, when we start talking like this, we can feed the poor. I guarantee this. We can feed the poor, knock on doors, have a benevolence ministry, and do all kinds of things, and it will not rile him up like the message of praying and praying in tongues and getting into the Word of God and putting a greasy spot on the wall where you'll camp out and just pray in tongues. And when you mention the word fasting, you're cursing in the spirit realm to him. You've just slapped him upside the head and said, okay, you want to get it on? You want to get it on? You want to see? Let's go. Because that's what he... But here's the red line of revival cannot be crossed as far as he's concerned. There is a bulwark of spiritual warfare surrounding the fortress of supernatural signs and wonders. It's not just, please, okay, let's get both sides of it. It's not just that we haven't died enough to the flesh. That's part of it. See, we as Christians, a lot of times, we want to teach one thing and just get a rail on that. Dying to the flesh is part of it. But that's not all of it. The other side of it is that there is a bulwark or a buildup. It's a bulwark of spiritual warfare warfare surrounding the fortress of supernatural signs and wonders. In other words, stop it. Heart right now, be healed. This fortress belongs to us, the church. We will not concede it, but we will walk in the fullness of it. Now listen to this, because it's a truth. It is a million times easier to prevent, as far as spiritual warfare is concerned, it's a million times easier to prevent a revival than to contain it. In other words, the enemy sees that the only chance he's got in keeping a revival from affecting and bringing forth a great tsunami in the earth around us is to prevent it before it ever happens. Don't let the water get over the dam. Don't let there be those who will begin to really believe that this thing can happen and pursue, because with it becomes an atmosphere, and with it an atmosphere is conducive, and with it an atmosphere is contagious, and with it an atmosphere begins to build faith, it begins to be hope, and it begins to exude an angelic activity as far into a region, and as the region grows in strength and faith, demonic spirits are demoralized to where that they cannot keep up with the. It's our corn stalk goes way past any demonic influence. That's the breakthrough. It begins to exude past it and begins to pour in the anointing and the glory and the honor. And so the precipice, right at the beginning, right at the very first part, he's got to smack you in your mouth. And everybody usually just backs off a little. If he can't do it with pleasure of life and diverting you, then for those who will, he'll just punch you right in the mouth. And then you say, well, my God, if that's the price I got to pay, there's no way that we could ever go into revival. He knows on the other side of the outpouring, he's demoralized. He's brought low. He can't contain it. The enemy knows that he cannot afford to allow the outbreak of revival. That is why his forces must be focused on prevention. Stopping it in its infancy is 1 million times easier than stopping it in its adulthood. We're going to have an adulthood revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He cannot afford for us to set up strongholds inside the promised land of revival. His objective is the exact polar opposite of our objective and vision of the world seeing the power of the church. The weak, the powerless, the sin-ridden church in the earth is one of his greatest testimonies that God is not relevant, alive, awesome, and a conquering, coming king. It's not, I don't want to be too sarcastic here. It's Jesus' church. He's the Lord over it. But Satan has really, he's really helped paint it. He's got an incredible investment in the church. He's helped develop a church that is a phantom. It is a phantom from the first church. It's a ghostly phantom of what the power and the strength of the first church looked like. And because the church is so sin-ridden, in the essence of the church just sleeps and fornicates just like the world. The church just drinks like the world. The church just does this like the world. And the world's like, we're a mockery. We're a snicker behind the backs of sinners. If I was on the outside looking in, I'd say, what do you got to offer? You're telling me about your affair that you had with her, it's no different. We're so and then the other part of it is we have no pizzazz. Our pizzazz is our testimony is power. We prayed, they got healed. We prayed, and then sinners will look at us and say, there's something weird going on. You know, I don't, first of all, you won't drink with me on Saturday night, but when you pray, something happens. Right now, the church has very little. Now, we're cornstalks of a different field. We're growing in a different field. Our cornstalk is going to eventually, if we keep listening, we keep praying, we keep having Sunday nights where we're going to confess the word, but mostly pray, find a spot, and we're going to pray for an hour, hour and a half, just pray in tongues, and just stay in that place. Just stay in that place. Corporate prayer, corporate prayer, corporate prayer. We're going to receive this. And you are going to be soldiers in Joel's army. We never got to Joel's army. That's where we're supposed to go today. You are soldiers in Joel's army that will bring in, because wherever your cornstalk is, I can salute all of you and say this. You can't even be in this church or listen to Gary Carpenter or Jim Martin or any of these. You can't, if you've been listening, you can't be at 20 or 30. You've got to be somewhere. Well, in other words, we're way further along than what our testimony is revealing right now. It's just that we've got to step past the present tense strongholds of the miraculous into a place where we are and live like who we are becoming. Hallelujah. So listen, we're not at zero. Anybody that's been around here very long is not at zero. You're not 10, 20, probably even 30 or 40. If you've been doing this in prayer and fasting and you're going to read this and hear this blueprint and stay on this with us, you're probably well over 50, 60, maybe some of you 70, but I'm telling you, we got to go ahead all the way into this next year. And we've got to lead a force behind us by way of example. And we've got to say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to pull my part. I'm going to bring my part in spiritual authority and encouragement to people. When people talk to me, it's not going to be that I try to exude it, but they're going to know, if my friends are going to know, I'm fasting. I can't go out this week. I'm fasting. I'm praying. How many times have you listened to the blueprint? Where are you at? Because we're on a journey together. We're going to receive this outpouring together. Hallelujah. Woo. We're not going to walk by some of you at times and say, have you, stand up, Lieutenant Ellie. Are you doing your part? Are you planning on doing your part? Will you have my six?
Yes, sir.
You know, when somebody says there's six, you know what a six is? If you're looking at the clock, keep standing. If you're looking at a clock and you're facing 12, directly behind you is what you cannot see. You're six. Military or different law enforcement will say, watch your six. Or I got your six. Hallelujah. Gunnery Sergeant, would you please stand? Gunnery Sergeant Kirsten,
yes,
do you have my six?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to help us bring this revival?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. This is our year. This is our year. Keep standing. Hallelujah. I like this. Hallelujah. This is a nickname. This is my Ray Skywalker. Stand up, Ray Skywalker. Hallelujah. You got my six?
Yes,
you going to bring it?
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo! I could just go all the way around the room. I got Miss General Gay. Stand up, General Gay. You got my six?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, sir. I know she does. Let's all stand together. Yes. Glory. Father, kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. Pour out your glory in this house and Jim's church and Tulsa and different houses. Let revival rage in Alabama and Georgia and different places. Let the presence of God go into the different homes, into the ministries all around the world. This is the most exciting generation in history, the one that will see the coming of our Lord and Savior. The one that will see arms and legs grow out, that will see blind eyes healed and restored. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. And this is our solemn commitment to you. We have got your six, Lord. You left this planet, but we have got your back. We will go into revival, and we will fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, amen. Give somebody a great big hug. Amen.